most kids are. Eager to gain some control over their lives, they concoct games and rites to add sense and form to their world. The dolls have to sit a certain way on the bed. The socks go on their feet before the pants. The walk to school has to be on the north side of the street. The walk back home has to retrace the steps perfectly. When I said my prayers as a child, I was convinced that I had to say so many words during the exhale and so many words on the inhale or something bad would happen. Weird, right? Not really. Though less brutal, it's not that far removed from slaughtering a cow and offering it to an unseen god to ensure rain. I know a writer who looks for something to clean around the house when the words aren't coming out. As he sits in front of his computer, feeling stale and stalled, everything around him looks grimy and caked with dust. So he grabs a rag and a spray bottle of Fantastic and gets to work on the crud. When everything is clean and shiny, he sits back down at the screen and the words invariably flow. He has a sophisticated explanation for why this ritual works, involving neural pathways and emotions and identity and self-worth. The job of a writer, he says, is simple. You write what's in your head. But it becomes an emotional challenge when you can't corral the words into coherent thoughts. Suddenly you doubt yourself. As you wallow in self-doubt, you turn away from the computer screen and see dirt that you hadn't noticed before, certainly not when the work was going well and you didn't need to turn away from the screen. The dirt becomes inextricably linked with the self-doubt, and wiping away the grime cathartically wipes away the self-doubt. The emotional crisis is solved. Let the writing begin. Personally, I think the key to his cleaning ritual is the fact that he gets up and moves. Movement stimulates our brains in ways we don't appreciate, but I give some credence to his cute metaphorical link between dirt and doubt. It might be mumbo-jumbo, but mystery and mumbo-jumbo are a big part of ritual, too. And if it works, why question it? I know a businessman who has a ritual of unfolding a dollar bill at the start of each deal and staring at it in silence for a moment, because there on the bill, opposite the great seal with the bald eagle and the overly ripe E Pluribus Unum, above the mysteriously cropped pyramid with the floating eye, is the motto Anuit Coeptis. Providence has favored our undertakings. To some, this might seem superstitious, but a superstition is nothing more than a ritual repeated religiously. The habit and the faith invested in it converts it into an act that provides comfort and strength. Every business deal is an act of courage and faith to this executive, and the motto on the dollar bill is his blessing. The mechanism by which we convert the chemistry of pessimism into optimism is still uncharted. But we do know how debilitating negativity can be, and likewise how productive optimism is. I'm no stranger to pessimism and fear. They can descend on me at night during those 3 a.m. sessions when I can't sleep and I'm consumed by my litany of issues. My mind flits from the major issues of how to cope with everything I want to do to the minor housekeeping details of going to a manicurist to repair my splitting fingernails. At times like this, priorities go astray. A trifle such as my nails can leap into the foreground of my fears. I swoon deeper and deeper into a fog of self-doubt and confusion. But rituals help me clear the fog. The other obstacle to good work, as harmful as one's fears, is distractions. I know there are people who can assimilate a lot of incoming data from all angles, from newspapers and magazines, movies, television, music, friends, the internet, and turn it into something wonderful. They thrive on a multitude of stimuli, the more complicated the better. I'm not hardwired that way. When I commit to a project, I don't expand my contact with the world. I try to cut it off. I want to place myself in a bubble of monomaniacal absorption, where I'm fully invested in the task at hand. As a result, I find I'm often subtracting things from my life rather than adding them. I've turned that into a ritual as well. I list the biggest distractions in my life and make a pact with myself to do without them for a week. Here are some perennially tempting distractions that I cut out. Movies. This is painful because I love films and cutting them out costs me something. My parents owned a drive-in movie theater in San Bernardino, California, and I spent a huge part of my childhood working there watching movies. But when I'm absorbed by a project, unless I'm looking at a film to learn something specific, I don't go to movie theaters and I don't rent videos. If I started watching movies for pleasure, I'd become addicted. I'd watch all day and never get anything done. Multitasking. In an accelerated, overachieving world, we all take pride in our ability to do two or more things at the same time. Working on vacation, using an elegant dinner to hammer out a business deal, reading while we're groaning on the Stairmaster. The irony of multitasking is that it's exhausting. When you're doing two or three things simultaneously, you use more energy than the sum of energy required to do each task independently. You're also cheating yourself because you're not doing anything excellently. You're compromising your virtuosity. In the words of T.S. Eliot, you're distracted from distractions by distractions. It's a challenge to cut out multitasking because we all get a free zone of satisfaction from being able to keep several balls in the air at once. But 1 week without multitasking is worth it. The increased focus and awareness are their own rewards. Numbers. More than anything, I can live without numbers. The ones on clocks, dials, meters, bathroom scales, bills, contracts, tax forms, bank statements, and royalty reports. For 1 week, I tell myself to stop counting. I don't look at anything with a number on it. This is not a great hardship. It means mostly that I don't have to deal with grinding business details.